The world belongs to God.
The earth and all its people.
How good and lovely it is.
To live together in unity.
Love and faith come together. It we were to keep silent about God's love. Lord, open our lips.
Friends, on this gorgeous morning, I invite you to turn to brother and sister alike and to share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
Greetings to you on this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in all kinds of ways and in all parts of our lives who are out there. Our fruit tree this morning even got dressed up for you to celebrate the glory of Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. Each week, we draw from what's called the Revised Common Lectionary. There are four readings that are available to us, and we usually only use one or two of them. This morning, our epistle lesson comes from John, the first letter of John, and it is perfect for Mother's Day because it is all about love. So as I welcome you this morning, I want you to hear that letter and what it says to us. First, it lays before us this call: Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. So welcome to a place where we practice love, where we test what it feels like to open our hearts so wide that love seeps out and falls upon longtime friend and newly met neighbor. That same letter invites us to abide in God and to let God dwell within us. So welcome to a time where we practice the art of abiding, a time where we enter the house of God, snuggle in God's lap, and soak up all the love and make room for the Holy of Holies. And finally, that reading for today puts before us this charge: to be bold and have no fear. So welcome to a time where we practice courage, a time when we soak in the symbols of font, table, and cross, so that when we look out through these glorious windows, we see the world through the lens of our faith and with the beauty of God's love. So welcome to the loved, the lovely, and the love needy. Welcome to the abiders, the abiding, and those searching for a place to lay their head. Welcome to the bold, the fearless, and the fearful. For here together, we practice, we learn, we grow, and we discover the transforming power of God through whom anything and everything is truly possible. I would like to invite anyone who wishes to make an announcement on behalf of the life of this community to come forward to that microphone and be prepared to do so. As they come forward, please come forward now. A special welcome to all of you who are new with us here today. If we do not know a way to get a hold of you, please fill out one of the pew cards and drop it in the offering plate so that we might reach out to you. Patty.
Hi, good morning. I'm Patty Strouch, and I wanted to update you on behalf of the Music Committee with the work that's going on with our Steinway piano. Hopefully, over the past few months, you've seen our newsletter articles about the restoration work that we are having done, and it started on Monday. So you might notice that the piano is no legs, is on horses, and we would ask that you be very careful not to go near it or touch it. It is safe, but fragile. So the work is being done by Terry Flynn in Great Barrington, and it should be done within the next 4 to 6 weeks. We will keep you updated on that. As we've mentioned before, we've done all of the fundraising for that through our Music on Main programs, and we will continue to have those to complete our fundraising and hope to see you at them. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Margaret Hornick, and I'm speaking to you as your representative to the Massachusetts Conference. I want to make you aware of a couple of events that are coming up that are important. We think of ourselves as a church family, and as we all know, family life is consuming as well as gratifying, but it's consequently easy to forget that we're part of an extended family. So the Berkshire Association and the Massachusetts Conference are our extended family, and some very interesting things go on there that we often don't know about. So next week in Lee is the Berkshire Association meeting at 3 o'clock at the Lee Congregational Church. Anyone who wants to come to that is invited, and I would encourage you, if you are available that afternoon, to do so. The next thing that's coming up is June 12th and 13th in Amherst, and that's the conference meeting, which is a very interesting event, and normally I would be going to it, but unfortunately I won't be able to this year, I'll be away. So anyone who might be interested in representing us at that meeting, please see me during the coffee hour. I'll share the agenda with you, some very interesting resolutions. It's a chance to see what's going on statewide, to meet some very interesting people, and just to generally have a good time. Thanks.
Thank you, Patty and Margaret. Before we continue more deeply into worship, I want to take a moment. On this table in the shadow of the cross are two daffodils, flowers that are the sign of spring. They are there today in remembrance, one for Ted Randolph's father, Ted, who passed away last Sunday, and the other is for Jane Huggins, a longtime member of this church who died this past Wednesday. Let us pray for Ted and for Jane, and let us pray for all who mourn their passing, and let us give thanks that they are already in the loving arms of God. Let us pray. Amen. I now would like to invite all of the children who are present to come and join Amy and I right down here. Come on up and have a seat. Good morning. How are all of you this morning? Well, Amy is here this morning because she is going to tell you a story. Amy, go ahead. Okay.
So today I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible, from the book of Acts. One day, God told Philip, one of the disciples, to leave the busy towns and go to a lonely desert road. An Ethiopian official happened to be going home on that road in his chariot. The official was a very important man, in charge of all of the queen's finances. Someone had taught the official about God, and he was coming back from Jerusalem, where he went to worship. On the journey home, he was reading from the book of Isaiah that he had bought at the temple. "Go and talk to him," God told Philip. So Philip ran hard to catch up with the chariot, and as he came near, he could hear the official reading out loud in a puzzled voice. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked as he drew near. "How can I when there is no one to explain it to me?" The official answered. "Please climb up here and help me."
All right. So that's a story today about reading and about understanding what you've read. How many of you know how to read? Show of hands. It was an overwhelming question, I know. So you may not remember, but how did you learn how to read? What did it take for you to learn how to read? Do any of you remember? How'd you learn how to read? Did it just come to you all of a sudden one day? No, James, what'd you do? You went to school, and somebody taught you how to read. What else did you do to learn how to read? John, what are you doing to help Jakey learn how to read?
I read to him.
So maybe somebody read to you, right? Did any of you practice reading? Did you try reading over and over again till you could? I bet you did. So the man in our story, that official from Ethiopia, the one that Amy told us about, he knew how to read, right? Because he was sitting there reading. So that man was in charge of all of the money for an entire kingdom. So do you think he was pretty smart? Yeah. He was a pretty smart guy. And yet, while he read the words off the page, he didn't understand what the words meant. And he had to ask Philip to explain it to him. Here's the thing about the Bible. All of us read the Bible. And to some extent, the Bible means what it says. We can read the story and understand the words. But you see, the Bible is also a different kind of book. It's a book where part of the meaning comes out of our life, comes out of the things we experience and the things we do. When God tells us to love each other, we understand what that means because you love your mom, or your mom loves you. And so we learn the stories of the Bible partly because someone helps explain how they matter in our lives, and partly because how we live them. Now, you're about to go off to Sunday school, right? Right? Are you excited? Yeah? So how do you think we pick our Sunday school teachers? How do you think we pick them? Because they're the smartest people in the entire church? Maybe. Some of them are very, very, very smart. Here's the thing. We pick our Sunday school teachers, and we ask them to talk to you, so they might tell you these stories of the Bible and help you to figure out how they relate to your life. How a story about a guy in the chariot in the middle of the desert might possibly relate to who you are as young people. So as you listen to your teachers, don't just let them explain what the Bible means. Ask them to tell you how those stories matter for your life. Ask them how they have lived out those stories in their lives. Make it more than just a story from sometime a long time ago. The whole goal of Sunday school is to make the Bible your story. Can you remember that? Okay. So we're going to hold hands, and then we're going to say a prayer. In fact, it's a prayer that somebody probably taught you at one time. It's a prayer we practice over and over again that we might learn it. And we're going to ask the entire congregation to say it with us. Let's pray. Our God. Thank you.
Our story of Philip and the Ethiopian official, a man who, because of his position, was a eunuch, continues from the book of Acts. Now the passage of the scripture that the official was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Here ends our reading for today, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please be seated. Will you pray with me? Loving God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they might swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. So the Bible calls the place of the encounter between the eunuch and Philip a wilderness road. Now, it is the road between two holy places, Jerusalem and Gaza. But Acts makes it clear that it is a wilderness road. A wilderness road is that kind of road that exists out there in the middle of nowhere. The kind of road where you can easily get lost, or the kind of place you go to get lost in your thoughts. A wilderness road is that kind of road that takes you out beyond everything you know, that you might come back home again. They are desolate kinds of roads where encounters are not so common, either in frequency or in their ordinariness. Truth is, Berkshire County is full of wilderness roads. This county is covered with roads and paths that are in their own ways. Paths through the wilderness. Places to get away. Places where we go to find meaning, to restore balance, or simply bask in beauty. Do you have a favorite wilderness road here in Berkshire County? One of those places that you go to be alone in your thoughts? I hope so. And I hope you might tell me about it, because I love a good wilderness road. Truth is, though, with this glorious weather dawning upon us, with summer just around the corner, those quiet, hidden, secluded places in our county are about to become far more crowded. And while surely there is something profoundly lost when this place goes from wilderness to Mecca, when others converge on our little off-the-beaten-track roads seeking meaning, balance, and beauty, when our hideaway becomes their getaway. Truth, though, that when they come, there also is opportunity gained. The chance for encounter on those quiet back roads increases. And the question that I lay before you is, will you be ready for it? Will you be ready, like Philip, to run after those encounters, ready to climb up and chat like Philip did? I hope so. Because at the end of this story, both the eunuch and Philip rejoice. Both of them are filled with joy and love, and both of them can't wait to tell everyone else what they experienced there on that wilderness road. Truth is, that eunuch was not unlike many of those who are about to find their ways onto our wilderness roads. He was an educated man, a talented man, a man with a burden of large responsibilities, someone wealthy enough to ride in a chariot, educated enough to read Greek, devout enough to travel great distances to encounter the holy, hungry enough to read the prophet Isaiah, and lost enough to welcome the help that came stumbling along in the shape of Philip. Turns out that eunuch had questions. You know those kinds of questions that keep you up at night, those kinds of questions that send you out on wilderness roads in search of meaning, balance, and beauty. He had questions so deep that the only place he could think of to turn for answers was this great holy book of ours. As he found himself reading out loud, he encountered a passage that he was convinced had hope embedded within it, but one whose meaning and beauty eluded him as he rode in that chariot. And so, lost on that wilderness road and lost in sacred text, he was eager to have Philip climb up into the chariot and explain it all to him. Truth is, Philip was likely far less educated, far less wealthy than that eunuch. He was a disciple, not a theologian. Philip was not a biblical scholar, but he was wise enough to follow the spirits leading out onto that wilderness road. Likely, he could not exegete this complicated passage that the eunuch was struggling with. But you see, the key to the elusive meaning, beauty, and hope embedded within that sacred text wasn't in the understanding of the syntax, the context, or the grammar of those words, but rather the meaning could be found in the word made flesh that those words pointed to. It was how those words of Isaiah came to life in Jesus that mattered. It was how those words lived on in the life of the community in which Philip lived that mattered. And you know what? Philip knew all of those things by heart. The scroll of the great prophet Isaiah, the one that the eunuch was reading out loud in that chariot, That was the very same scroll that Jesus picked up in his very first act of ministry in Luke's gospel. That scroll of Isaiah is known by many as simply as the Book of Hope. The book that offered life to the marginalized and outcast, the one that offered a place at the table and in community for those relegated to the sidelines, the book that offered inclusion for the poor and the lame and even the wealthy, highly trained, highly successful folks like that Ethiopian official, whose reality of being a eunuch took him from the regalness of the courtyard of the queen straight into the wilderness of the faithful. In Luke, Jesus' first words to the people who followed him said, I have come here to fulfill these words. I have come to fulfill this book of hope, that you might see these words come to life in your midst. So it turns out that Philip, neither scholar or theologian, was just the kind of man that this eunuch needed. Because Philip, you see, knew that the scroll of Isaiah had been brought to life in this way of Jesus. He knew firsthand what it meant to live in the midst of a community animated by the Spirit and led by the living Christ. A life of shared purpose and inclusion. A life where all, really all, are invited to share in the grace of God. And just as importantly as what Philip knew, he was bold. He had no fear. He was willing to climb up into the chariot of a stranger, willing to share more than answers. Instead, Philip was willing to offer the gift of meaning and beauty. If you look at that passage in the Bible, it doesn't say that Philip taught the eunuch anything. Instead, it says that Philip sat there and told him stories. Stories about Jesus and the way Jesus brings life and hope. Philip brought that life, the one of Jesus, to the one lost on a road in a wilderness who was desperately searching for life. And then, of course, the story ends with both of them going on their way rejoicing. So the question that I have for you remains the same. Will we be ready for the encounters on the wilderness roads of Berkshire County this summer? Will we be ready to climb up and chat? Through them, will we bring life and find life for ourselves all over again? I hope so, because here's the thing. You don't need to be a scholar or a theologian to sit with those who have tough questions about what life means. You don't need to be able to dissect the Bible and take tough passages and explain their syntax, setting, or grammar to find the meaning to which those words point. Instead, like Philip, you need to just be able to share how those words came to life in Jesus, and perhaps more importantly, how they come to life right here in this community. Like Philip, you simply need to be ready, willing, and able to share the story of what it means to be part of this community, a community that follows that word made flesh. Need to be able to talk about how we love each other, how we care for one another, how we bring hope into each other's despair, meals to each other's homes, how we share our joys and concerns, how we come within these walls to reach out beyond them and knock down any barriers between love and those who need it. To talk about how we offer extravagant welcome to one another as practice, to be able to welcome it to everyone and anyone in need. So like Philip, when we are out on those wilderness roads and paths this summer, we need to be open to encounter rather than simply trying to get away, willing to even run and catch up with a chariot, willing to climb up and settle in, never to convert or cajole, but simply to sit with and share the story of the one who brought the Book of Hope to life. I hope you noticed in the reading that it wasn't Philip who asked the eunuch if he wanted to join this way of life. It wasn't Philip who prescribed a path or even gave direction. Rather, it was the eunuch who suddenly found the elusive beauty and meaning of that Isaiah scroll who felt those words of humiliation and justice come to life. Philip didn't tell him how to live. It was the one who was lost who found that path suddenly illuminated before him. Philip didn't ask him to join the church. It was the eunuch who not only asked the question about being baptized, but who arrived at the answer long before Philip ever opened his mouth to confirm or deny. It was the eunuch who pulled over, got off that wilderness road, and found a new beginning and discovered a new trail on the way and went on his way rejoicing. It is pretty amazing stuff. We talk a lot in worship about this room being a sanctuary so that we might practice this kind of living. Each week we practice sharing peace with one another, extending heart and hand, until it becomes second nature. Here, we lift up our joys and concerns to break down barriers and isolation. And so I hope this summer you will take all of that practice and put it to good use as you encounter people lost and lonely here in the Berkshires. But the truth is, we also need to practice what we are going to share with those people. What is the story of how we find life and beauty and truth and meaning within these walls? Scripture tells us that Philip had tons of practice before he climbed into that chariot. He had been throughout Samaria telling this story of Jesus until it emerged from his heart and flowed from his lips like the back of his hand. And so this morning, I want you to practice too. Each of your bulletins, you will find a small little slip of paper. I wish I had one here to show you, but I think you can find it. Kathy's got one there. In just a couple of moments, I'm going to encourage you to write down at least one way that you have experienced the holy in this place, one way that you have seen hope come alive in this place, one example of how you have seen the Spirit swirling in our midst. Write it down on that piece of paper and then put it in the offering plate, because I would love to read it. You can put your name on there if you want, but you don't have to. Tell me your story that I might know it, and together we might rejoice in it. Friends, shortly the wilderness roads of Berkshire County are going to become places of encounter. Are we going to be ready to meet the lost? Are we going to be ready to share the story of life that they might find their way? I hope so. I pray so. And so I offer you this chance here and now to prepare for it. Friends, enter into the wilderness, and on that scrap of paper, tell the story of how you have found light and life and hope and beauty here in this family of faith. Amen. May those stories become so familiar that they rise up from your heart and roll off your tongue to all who are in need. And now let us rise and let us sing about that love that will not let us go.
is now straight A's.